The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. We so appreciate our longtime listeners here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Dumpy and West Bend, who we spoke to earlier this morning, I believe, reminding us that 7/12 is National Pecan Pie Day, National Paper Bag Day, and National French Fry Day. And there is a time when we would have known all of that, guys. We would have been telling you that. Instead, we're talking Green Bay Packers. And apparently, there is a narrative out there. There is a thought process out there. There is a portion of the population out there that believes Packers fans are great. Michelle Smallman from Unsportsmanlike has been looking for a fan base to join, a team to support. Famously, her story is she's from St. Louis, hates Stan Kroenke.
Who doesn't?
Well, you don't have to be from St. Louis to hate Stan Kroenke. But he obviously took her team, the Rams, to L.A., so she was left teamless and has been looking for a team ever since. And so I believe at one point we had a few folks here who were campaigning for her to join the Packers fan base. So she ranked the Packers as the third best fan base in the NFL. And apparently there was some pushback to that from one of our own, Rutledge and Hamilton, which I believe now is...
So Molly is going to be added to that team coming up later this month.
Yes, so Rutledge, so Hamilton. Molly Brown. And is it Brown or Molly? Are they calling her Molly or is it Brown?
Molly.
Molly, thank you.
But her name's Molly Brown.
Yeah, I picked up on that. Thanks, I appreciate you leading me to that water. He says it's actually easy to be a fan of the Packers because the Packers are good. And I kind of agree with that. Like, it's easy to be a fan of a team that consistently does well, isn't it, Gabe? It's harder to remain loyal to a team that breaks your heart over and over and over again. Is Rutledge right that it is easy to be a Packers fan?
Right now, sure. But, like, I don't think the Packers fan base is fair weather by any stretch of the imagination. They stunk in the 70s and 80s, and yet by the time, you know, I was coming of age in the 90s, there was still a wait list for season tickets, right? So if your team is good, you can't be a good fan base all of a sudden. Like when the Seahawks were going through their thing and they were putting in loud, loud stadiums, it was the hardest place to play. Still a really hard place to play now. You can't be a good fan base if your team's good.
But he's not saying that it's not good. He's just saying it's easier to support good teams than it is to consistently, right? I mean, just think about the criticism, ridicule you get if you're a Bears fan, right? Because the Bears have stunk Al Stinko for so long. But if you're consistently and loyal and you stick through it, the hope is that someday you will be rewarded by all of the mistakes and mishaps eventually leading to success. Maybe that is Caleb Williams, Rome Odunze, et cetera, et cetera. Saw Keenan Allen, by the way, standing on the ESPY stage last night. Rough choice of suit, buddy. Rough choice of suit. Chew, does Rutledge have a point that it is easier to root for good teams than it is to consistently root for bad teams?
It is, but when you're a good team, the bar's higher, right? I mean, making the playoffs, they make the playoffs this year, who cares, right? When you have a Super Bowl caliber team, which we think we believe we have here, even though they might not quite be there yet, the bar's higher. Yeah. You know, going to the divisional round, and who cares, right? And that's the nice thing about it. And it seems like the Packer bar has raised the Bucks bar and the Brewer bar as well, right? I mean, Brewers going to the play. Let's say they finish with 94 wins.
Yeah.
Losing in the first round or second round is just doesn't feel good enough.
But that has nothing to do with the Packers. That has everything to do with the Brewers being in the postseason how many ever of the last years it's been. Like, it's because of the run that they've been on, and they haven't gotten over the hump.
But
right?
Take the
that
Bears.
More than, yeah, that, but take, more to do with the Brewers.
Take the Bears, for example. Making the playoffs this year, probably good enough for them.
That's a great step for them.
I don't even know if it's a step. I mean, obviously it's a step, but they're an organization that's not sustainable for whatever reason. Even when they went to the Super Bowl and played the Colts,
yeah,
I didn't think they were the second best team in the NFL that year. Did you?
Their defense is really good.
Their offense is really bad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sexy
well, not
Rexy.
Bad, but.
Sexy Rexy isn't. Thank God he didn't win a Super Bowl. Can you imagine?
Who was 1 and 2 on the list? Do you know?
It's a good question. Joshy, can you check and see if you know who Michelle's power rankings of teams?
Steelers, Eagles.
Oh, Steelers, Eagles.
Steelers
were 1, Eagles were 2.
And Steelers have come on some tough times. Now, not tough like the Bears or some of these other franchises that have had really, really bad records over the last few years. But, I mean, the Steelers, we know, have made the postseason under Mike Tomlin year and year and year and year out. But that does feel like a good fan base. And I think I heard Damian Woody this morning talking on Sportsmanlink about how you see terrible towels everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter where you go. Somebody's got it hanging in the dentist's office. You're like, oh, okay, Steelers fan.
Yeah, if I didn't play for Green Bay, Pittsburgh would have been my second choice.
Okay.
Yeah, just lunch pail type people, you know, love their team, even when they struggle. It's a great or Philly, I don't know why Philly's in there.
Okay, so do you think the average person... For the average person, and this is tough to say for the Packers because they have had sustained success having Hall of Famers under center at least for the last, 30 decades. If the team does start to stink, if the team does start to do people's fan bases wane? Do they pull back a little? Are they not as invested? They may still be a quote-unquote fan of the team, but does their fanaticism sort of diminish?
I think you lose some of the fringe fans, some of the more casual fans, but again, I think the Packers' diehard fan base is deep and strong.
Well, I can tell you this, I don't know if you guys agree with me here, it's much easier to do this show after a loss than it is a win.
Depends.
What do you mean?
The reaction, the... How upset the fans are.
Right. Well, that goes back to what you were saying before about standards and expectations.
Yeah.
Like, if they were a bad team, if they were, I mean, it would be hard to do it after loss. If they were a 3-14 team, like, okay, they lost again. Okay, they lost because of this again. It'd just be kind of the same thing. It'd be more fun to do it after the win.
Yeah, but if they're a good team, like I'm sure the reaction when we lost Indianapolis back in the day, when Indy was like 1-12 and... We were one of the top dogs.
Fire Holmgren, trade Favre.
Yeah. And that's telling, the only thing that drives me nuts, and it drives me nuts with the Packer fan base as well, and I was talking about this with my son, is when they can't look at things objectively. When they're so rose-colored green and gold glasses just drives me nuts.
I thought that was kind of part and parcel for being a fan. I thought there was a part of you that is kind of
It is,
like...
but I can't talk to you. I don't want to talk to you. Yeah, I just don't want to talk to you. You know,
I understand.
Point taken.
I understand that this is,
however,
this is baked into the cake. However, I'm going to need you to go over there. That's basically what you're saying, right?
Yes.
So you understand that when people are fans of teams, oftentimes they do look through rose-colored glasses.
Yes.
They do always see the glass half full.
Okay, so maybe you guys can help me because during the break, I found out I'm doing Greeny again today, and this list is something that every show on ESPN Radio is doing today. So who should I have on my list of top 5 NFL fan bases when I do Greeny here in an hour?
Ooh, fun.
I think Dallas has to be in there, although Dallas fans, because my wife's headquarters are in Dallas, are completely delusional. When she goes down there, to the corporate offices, they think everyone in the world are Dallas Cowboys fans. Doesn't matter. And she just fires back at them. And they don't care. They're just such... You talk about toads?
There is not a chance in hell. I am putting the Dallas Cowboys on this list. You can bleep off.
Yeah.
Well, who are you putting on?
But here's the thing. Again, this goes back to... You have to figure out the scale. This, to me, is an X and Y axis type of thing, right?
Okay.
Because success
F
as...
F around and find out.
Yep, exactly. As Rutledge was saying, the more successful you are, the easier it is to be a fan. That's just reality, right? Part of it is FOMO. Everybody else is cheering for the Packers. Everybody else is, I don't know, go to the bar. I don't even know anything about football. I want to go. I want to be a part of it. Frivolity and celebration and yada, yada, yada. That you have to also think of fan bases that have had teams that have not been historically great, but they have been tried and true, stuck with them, and they still make a lot of noise. Tony Cartagena is weighing in on the ESPN Milwaukee Talk and Text Line saying, I thought the Packers were the best fans in football. Then I moved to Cleveland.
Yeah.
Insanity. Something wrong with those people, but it's actually amazing. They are the best fans in sports.
So when I was putting together a preliminary list, the Browns have to be on my top 5 list because it's insane. And it's... I would be unaware of it unless Goodcomer Brands owned ESPN Cleveland. It's crazy. It's absolutely insane. Like the way they went crazy over all these different quarterbacks they've drafted and the number of people they get.
Yeah, but is that out of pity, Gabe? Is that out of pity because you feel sorry for them?
No,
like because, the Cubs. I mean, obviously we hate the Cubs here because of proximity, but was there a part of baseball fans that kind of felt sorry for them because they hadn't won a World Series ever?
But that doesn't mean they were fans of them. Right,
but is that the same thing with Cleveland? Like, no, all right, they lose their team to Baltimore. Art Modell screws them over.
I'm telling you, the people in Cleveland are just different, man. Like, they care about the Browns on a whole new level. Like, they had LeBron James. They had one of the two best basketball players of all time for a decade in that town.
Mm-hmm.
And even though he won a bleeping championship, he was still second fiddle to the Cleveland Browns.
And oh my God, you guys, I just pulled up the Cleveland Browns year-by-year record, right, on Pro Football Focus, Pro Football Reference, rather.
It's bad.
The number of seasons consecutively where they don't hit double-digit wins is unbelievable. Even worse, obviously everybody knows about the 1-15 season, the 0-16 season, 6-10, 4-12, 5-11, 4-12, 5-11, 5-11, 4-12, 4-12. Like, this is insane.
Yeah.
I'm going back to
very bad
2000, 3-13, 2-14, 5-11.
And LeBron couldn't be bigger than that.
Most places would have sold the team by then. They would have been like, you know, because fans wouldn't be showing up and supporting the home team.
But it changed me from rooting for them. If that was the Packers, I'm out.
Sorry. But Gabe, it changes from city to city, having grown up outside of Boston.
Yeah.
The Red Sox are one. The Red Sox are the Packers of Boston.
Yes, 100%.
New England, the Patriots?
Yeah.
They're three.
Behind the Celtics.
Okay. Behind the Celtics.
So I got, as you're making your list there, Gabe, I got to think the Kansas City Chiefs are on there, right?
I put the Chiefs on here as well.
But is that also in part because they've been so good lately?
Part of that, yes, but I just think of when the stories that Chewy tells when he played there.
Arrowhead.
And about how Arrowhead is just the loudest limbs. Stadium.
Yeah.
So then if you're going by volume, do you have to put Seattle on
there? So that's what I was thinking as well. So the preliminary list that I put together was Chiefs.
Seattle's fake, Gabe.
Okay, so
Seattle's
don't put Seattle on there. See,
no, because Seattle's
got that little roof.
You have to be able to be doing this for 40 years. Seattle's been doing it for like 10.
Well, then do you put the Patriots on there?
No. Hell no. No!
I'm trying to figure out the metric here, folks. Can we figure out what the metric is? For a minute, I thought it was volume at the stadium.
Hold on.
Eye test. It's all eye test, Jen.
Number one.
Now we're back to the manager of the Pirates who's pulling skeins after seven.
Number one, you have to be the most important team in the city. If you got a basketball team, a hockey team.
So the Browns get that. The Chiefs are certainly more important than
the
Royals.
What about San Fran?
I've got on your list?
I don't. I have the Bills on my list.
What about the Niners?
You tell me they're wine and cheese
they
country.
They are, but 8 million of them hate me. Okay.
Just because a couple people came after you on social media.
What a good callback for you.
Seems self-serving.
Yeah, a little bit.
So if I put the Niners on this list, why? Well, my co-host had a message before a playoff game that was misconstrued, and a bunch of people from San Francisco now hate him.
All right, so
if we're going by Chewy hate, then I got to put the Bengals on here too.
Yeah, okay, so true. I covered the Packers, you guys know, for 7 years, and several times we went to Philadelphia for games. That's a crazy fan base.
Yes.
That's an insane fan base. I don't have any point of reference like Tony Cartagena does for Cleveland, but I was like, well, these people are certifiable. Does that count? Is certifiable a metric you want to use for how good of a fan base a team has?
They're launching batteries at people. I don't know if you're a good fan base.
You could put the Raiders there,
they're
too,
passionate
when they were in Oakland.
Game.
Yeah. Well, who else did you put on there?
Working through it, it sounds like.
Yeah, I was working. I started with Bills, Browns, and again, I put Chiefs on there because of that. I feel like I have to put the Packers, but again, I feel we've got, and because we're so close to it, we've got some issues we need to figure out as a fan base as well.
Oh, like the wave.
Man.
The noise.
People standing up, people sitting down. Packers like the Milwaukee crowd. No, they don't like the Milwaukee crowd. Like, we have a lot of internal Civil War things going on as a fan base that we need to clean up, and I'm sure every fan base has it. But I just feel like I can't put the Packers like on the top of the list, but I still feel that.
No, you're right.
With the season ticket list, with the tailgating culture, no matter what the weather is, we're showing up no matter what.
And
I feel we go on.
There's
the
a
list.
Lot of joiners. I'll give you an example, like the Blammer, right?
Okay.
Swears he's the biggest Packer fan and got the jersey and all that, and he'll watch a game. Like I say, name five players on the Packers. Lynn Dickey, James Lofton has no clue whatsoever. So there are a lot of joiners.
That's, yeah.
That's the FOMO thing. I have a question for you. Have we been remiss not to mention the Las Vegas Raiders fans? And again, because they were obviously in Oakland for so long, but these are the people that are wearing spikes on their shoulders and face paint and all that. Like, that should count for something, right? That level of intensity, that level of commitment. And the team has been bad.
If they were still in Oakland, maybe.
Yeah, they were crazy.
Because it's not, the black hole isn't what it is in Vegas, what it was in Oakland. No, like, it's still kind of exists. Yeah.
Roomba.
It still kind of exists a little bit.
What about Denver?
Ooh.
Yeah. Honestly, I hadn't thought about it. So why would you put Denver on the list?
Their fans are pretty good. Okay. I mean, they're not obnoxious. They're good. They love their team. They travel fairly well.
Again, the sliding scale here, I'm trying to nail down, like, and again, maybe it's nebulous. Maybe it's ambiguous. You know?
I think it is.
But I don't understand how you can just dismiss the New England Patriot fans who have, again, team is good, so maybe that drops you down a little bit because it's easy to root for a winner.
But it seems like Patriots gear's kind of disappeared the last couple of years, doesn't it?
Well, they're fair weather.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm fair weather. Yeah, total fair weather.
So they can't be on the list at all.
Yeah, they're not
I wouldn't put them there.
They're not in the
like
top
me.
Five.
I could give two craps about Boston College. I don't even know who the head coaches are.
Isn't that
now,
more of a problem?
That's because we
now,
just
Jen,
hired their head coach.
You go 10-1, love them. They're great.
Suddenly Chewy's writing checks.
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, what does your list look like right now?
Well, so right now I've got an opening at 4. I went Bills. I might even put Browns 1, but I put Bills 1. But I think Bills will probably slide down to 2. So I'll probably go Browns, Bills,
Chiefs. Wait a minute.
Chiefs.
We didn't even talk about the Bills. Is the Bills because they lost all those Super Bowls and fans still stuck by them?
Yeah, they've stuck with that team, the tailgating culture. Everybody shows up for
just
it.
Just because you throw yourself through a couple of tables.
Flaming tables.
Yeah, you throw yourself through a couple of flaming
Light
tables.
Light yourself on fire.
Yeah,
okay.
you move up the list. I need a fifth team because I've got Browns, Bills, Chiefs, blanket 4. I was going to put the Packers at 5. But maybe I put the Packers at 4 because
I don't
love
you
team.
Having the Packers at 5 because then you have the national platform to articulate some of these issues that Packers fans need to get figured out. Maybe shaming them on Greeny is going to be just the trick.
Yeah, that's exactly change. What we need.
Those jerks won't change.
Based on a bad fan base that somehow is always hopeful, and yet, you know, Lucy always still pulls the football away from them, do we put the Jets on there? I mean, they seem forever hopeful. Or am I just basing that solely off of Greeny on get up every morning rooting for the Jets?
I got to be perfectly honest with you. I'm unfamiliar with this team that you're speaking of. The what?
You've never heard of them?
The Mets? Yeah, I know the Mets. They play baseball.
Grimace.
Unfamiliar with the other team that you're referring to. Whether you're a local who wants to enjoy a night out or you're planning to visit Milwaukee, enjoy an artfully stylish experience at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. The hotel is ideally located in the heart of the theater district in downtown Milwaukee, and I believe they are just outside of the footprint. So if this week y'all are looking for a spot to go to, they're just outside of everything that is going to be fenced off, roped off. You can't access. You can access St. Kate the Arts Hotel. Enjoy every element of your stay at St. Kate. Learn more and book your stay at stkatearts.com. That's stkatearts.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So you mentioned Super Bowls and parties and how they don't go hand in hand, which again is an absurd comment by YouTube, but it's just one of many on the show.
Dumber thing that Chewy has said this morning. Super Bowls and parties don't go hand in hand, or cheddar is not a top 10 cheese.
On 94.5 ESPN.
A couple of things you probably didn't have on your bingo card today for Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. One, a Livy Dunn conversation with Jason Wilde. No one saw that one coming. And two, well, that. I did not have that on my bingo card. Ashton Rotman back there jumping into the production booth with our buddy Josh DiMaggio. I did not have on the bingo card talking about Dez Bryant. Was it a catch or was it not a catch? But if you follow the bouncing ball, we were talking about the Yankees-Rays game last night and how one of the infielders, I believe it was, outfielder.
There's an infielder.
Infielder went to the outfield, caught the ball, and then started celebrating and immediately dropped the ball. And then they had to review it to see if it was, in fact, a catch because the Yankees thought maybe it was not, in fact, an out. And then, of course, that brought up Dez Bryant. And was it a catch or was it not a catch? And Gabe, you were saying?
Definitely not a catch.
But it was a catch.
But it wasn't. Chewy? Based on the rule of the time, it was not a catch.
But it was a catch by the eye. We saw him catch the ball.
That doesn't matter. It matters what the rule is.
Did it hit the ground?
The ball hit the ground, yes. And it jarred loose because it hit the ground. It's an incomplete pass. Incomplete pass.
No, that's a catch. Sorry.
Dez did not catch
it. The ground caused the fumble. It caused it to cough
out. But he's
out.
Going to the ground. And the rule of the time was, if you're going to the ground, you have to maintain possession through the catch.
His knee hit first. He was down. No, that's
but he wasn't down because he's going to the ground. So to complete the process, you have to hold on to the damn football.
So what would be the rule today?
So the rule today
would be a clear no because you have to make an athletic move
but
after
you
catch
an
the ball.
Athletic move in
so,
that play.
I know.
Today,
I totally agree.
In today's rule of what a catch is, Chew, him reaching the ball would constitute that other action after getting 2 feet or a knee down. Reaching the ball would constitute that other action. So that would have been a completed catch today.
I understand that you have to minute your way through a scenario, right? But there is a part of me that feels like common sense should prevail in these things. Like, we know it was a catch. We know he caught the ball.
It was an incomplete pass.
Okay, some of this is your fandom.
Yes.
Stepping
I was just going to say, because at the time of the catch or non-catch, Gabe was a toad. So if that was Devontae Adams, would Gabe say that was a catch?
At the time, I knew it was going to be an incomplete pass. Because like that had happened a couple of times throughout the course of the season, and that was like again because the NFL changes the catch rule every
remember
year.
Remember Kelvin Johnson?
Oh yeah,
the clearest touchdown in the world.
Oh yeah, that was against the Bears.
Yeah, and they called it an incomplete pass, and because I knew they called that an incomplete pass, that was going to be an incomplete pass.
This play in the Yankees Rays game reminded me more of when a football player is running towards the end zone, they've got the ball in their hand, mm-hmm. and then they drop
they
it in celebration before they... Mm-hmm. Now, they cross the goal line, but the ball doesn't cross the plane, and then it doesn't count, and you're like... And I understand that one, because to me, that is a celebration thing. For this Yankees-Rays thing yesterday, he did feel a little premature celebration, right? But they did review it and said he did secure it in his glove, even though it was a bang-bang catch drop.
Which actually happens in baseball all the time when they talk about transferring, trying to make a turn at second base for a double play.
Which why
and
to make
so
the
many
rule,
times.
Right?
Yeah. And so many times because you control it and you're trying to get it out quick, like you don't need control for that long in baseball because think about how many double plays that's happened on where they rule that lead runner out at second base.
Because they caught the ball,
yep.
but then they bobble it on the transfer
correct.
And then the ball hits the ground
which
and
is,
it ends up being a drop.
He caught it, controlled it, slapped his glove and it came out.
So this goes back to New York. The review does. So you can't
baseball,
say if this was in Yankee Stadium, they would have called it
correct.
A non-catch.
Correct. It's somebody outside of the umpires that are on the field. Yes, it goes back to New York.
You know, it wasn't that long ago that you were not able to review anything in Major League Baseball except questionable home runs. That's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, again, this thing last night, right?
Yeah.
Like, would it have been just what the umpire ruled in the moment?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Which
was out.
Was out. He caught it, yeah.
That's close.
You're watching the play?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he didn't secure the ball.
But he did.
And he's saying,
if you watch
he's saying
it on
baseball
the...
has such a small requirement you have to meet.
Yeah.
Which is what? You have to have 2 feet down?
2 feet down inbounds.
Yeah.
You can't be forced out.
No, it's more of the, if you're converting oxygen to carbon dioxide, it's a catch.
That's close.
Yeah, but he controlled it for a split second. That's all he needed.
Would that have been a catch in the NFL?
In the NFL, no, that's not a catch.
Now, if you were letting your fan base affect this, they did go on to beat the Yankees, so it's a catch, right? It's
yeah.
an out.
Yeah, that's close.
He's watching it over and over.
He's mesmerized by it. He can't look away.
Well, because typically this happens when, let's say, an infielder goes to get the ball in the glove.
Exactly, and it pops out, yeah.
I don't think he controlled it, Gabe.
But
because you see the ball move in his glove.
There's a slow replay angle where he kind of like, so it's kind of snow coned, and then he kind of opens the glove and closes it to secure it.
So do you have to hold it for a second?
No,
or?
Not even.
No, not even.
Eh.
Hey, can we also talk about Little League? Are they talking out there or what? I got three guys in the same area chasing down that ball. Isn't anybody calling it off?
Well, I mean, obviously the infield, nobody collided.
Whose call is it?
It's the outfield. If the outfielder has the priority, if the outfielder thinks he can get there, if the outfielder thinks he can get there, he calls off. But if he doesn't know if he can get there, then he's not saying anything. But if the outfielder says something, infielders clear out.
And then who's in charge of the infield?
Shortstop. Shortstop thinks he can get it, then he makes the call.
Is that what position Fairbanks plays, or is he a second baseman?
I think he's second base.
Hmm.
Chewy's not convinced. Now, Chew, just so you know, they did take to instant replay.
Yeah.
They slowed it down. They made a judgment. They did say it was a catch and that it was, in fact, an out. But, again, I'm watching it over and over again now on my computer as well. It is quick.
Yeah, it's
quick. Very quick.
But you don't need it. Again, think about how quick a double play is.
Yeah.
And they rule them out all the time there. So it's kind of the same standard.
You'd be surprised at how many guys on a team don't know the rules.
Oh, I mean, it seems There's like it happens once yeah. a year where, or anytime somebody ties a game in the NFL where players are like, oh, I didn't know yeah. you could tie in the NFL, despite it happening.
Like one I always deal with is in football, and a lot of guys didn't even know this. So if the team punting the ball
mm-hmm.
touches it, but it's not down, the receiving team can pick the ball up, fumble, and yep. they still get the ball back.
Correct.
A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah.
You know what? Tell you the truth, I don't think I knew that when I played. Certainly didn't know one in college.
Yeah, like if the ball inadvertently hits somebody's leg.
Or if he touches it and it's not down.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, when did you learn it?
When they told me to pick the ball up every time when I was a long snapper. Because a lot of guys will just go down and touch it and yep. feel the ball's dead. It's not dead. They always say pick it up and hand it to the official. That way, you know.
Nothing crazy can happen.
Nothing crazy can happen.
If you love sports betting, you got to make your way to the Sportsbook at Potawatomi Hotel, Milwaukee. It has everything a sports fanatic could want and more. I imagine they will be pretty slammed this coming week with that big convention in town. But if you're looking for a place to watch all of your games, they've got a 2,000 square foot video wall, a first class bar, a brand new restaurant called The Kitchen, a VIP deck, and so much more. If you're in a rush, they have free 20-minute reserve parking spaces near the Skywalk. Might be the only free parking in Milwaukee next week, actually. It's a new era of sports betting at Potawatomi. Get in on the action at the Potawatomi Sportsbook.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He hates the ending of all comedies. Apparently doesn't like happy endings.
I love happy endings. Don't take it that far.
Oh, Muy bueno.
Maybe that's a vote for Groundhog Day for you.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, and you know what time it is. It's time to play a little We Can Reach You.
Think you know the show better than the average ESPN Milwaukee fan? Now's your chance to prove it. It's time to play the Week in Reach You.
How you feeling today, big guy?
No Blammer Thursday. I feel sharp as a butter knife.
Sounds about right. Five questions, you get three right, you win. You get three wrong, you lose, as we test your knowledge of things that you said throughout the course of this past week. Question number one, what was your brilliant idea to improve golf?
Yeah, see, I think golf would be much more interesting.
Playing in a lightning storm, hold up
no,
that golf
no, no,
front,
no, no.
Jen,
golf
see what happens.
Would be much more interesting if...
If what?
One each nine, you get to hit the opposing golfer.
making a contact sport.
Yeah.
What kind of hit are we talking about?
A total blindside hit.
Yeah.
Warren Sapp style.
Yeah.
Drop the shoulder.
Would I have to start wearing a helmet then?
It doesn't hurt that much.
If you're tackling me, I'm guessing it's going to hurt a little bit.
I didn't see
also,
me.
Why do we play this game again?
Oh, for my brain? I think it's a great idea.
Question number two. There's not a chance you get this right. What did you say here?
I mean, the course, let's say.
You might be able to get the first word.
Joshy said that to me earlier this week. I had no idea.
You said that, and I thought I was having a stroke. I looked around. What's going on here?
One more time. I mean, the course, let's say. I'm going to crush Jose. I mean, the course, let's say. What was I saying?
So Joshy believes what you were saying is, I mean, the question is the same.
I mean, the course, let's say.
It's like you choked
that
on
is,
your
that
tongue.
That is not sped up. That is not altered in any way.
Play it again.
I mean, the course, let's say.
Wait a minute. When I was listening on Tuesday... You were also really struggling with smorgasbord.
How do you say
it? Do you remember that, Josh?
Smorgasbord? Yes. Is that right?
You're a gem.
You were having a bad speaking day.
I was.
I was like, wow.
One more time.
I'm going to crush Jose. I mean, the crush Jose. Wow.
All right, you had no chance there. Okay. That was, it needed to be played, but also a little unfair, but I don't care. You're 1-1. Question 3 begins with the audio clip.
Pubes.
Why did you say the word pubes?
Oh, because Joshy had to get tested for drugs.
Right? Hair follicle drug test. Hair follicle drug test is the
question. Well, what's
answer.
The second longest hair region on your body?
Pubes.
Am I right? I mean, not anymore with manscaping, but back in the day,
pubes.
Wouldn't hear the water hit the ground in the shower. Like a sponge.
Moving on. Question 4. All right. You're in a good spot here. You've gotten 2 out of 3 correct.
Bring the chainsaw into the bathroom.
Question 4 begins with an audio clip. People
had a little problem with the waitress there.
Seemed to have a lot of those.
Well, she didn't like me pouring my own wine.
Where did you, once again, have a little problem with the wait staff?
At the list we did. Why did we do the list? Was that?
It was a people watching.
Was that
list.
Power rankings?
No, so that was power rankings, and it was the people watching places in.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that was a Bacchus.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
And you agreed with me. It's on the table.
Yeah,
the glass is empty. Yeah. I can't wait.
No, that's ridiculous. If there's an open bottle of wine on the table,
sure,
and your glass is empty, you can pour that bottle of wine yourself.
Yeah.
All right, you've already won, but let's see if, you know,
run up
the score. Question 5 begins with the audio clip.
It's entertaining myself.
Correct.
Yeah.
How do you entertain yourself?
That's a dangerous question there. How do I entertain myself?
It has nothing to do with pubes.
Well...
The answer.
Nice. How do I entertain myself? I have no idea.
Setting up your friends with other people.
What were we talking about?
Frankie.
And the
nice little lady you introduced her to.
Yeah.
About how you've got a good record of setting people up. Your wife's record is not
terrible.
As good as yours.
Yeah. Because you got to pick and choose. You can't try to set everybody up, which she does. She thinks she's Chuck Woolery or something. Tiny Mike.
I don't know why I said Tiny Mike. Dude, that was the funniest segment. My abs hurt so bad from laughing.
I mean, the question's the same. What was I saying again?
I mean, the question is the same.
And you were using this as a transition to talk about, is the defense going to improve? And you said the question is the same, and I think you're implying last year to this year.
Again, Joshua just used every context clue he could to potentially draw out what we think you said.
Did you know it at the time?
What?
Did you know it at the time?
No, I had to go back and listen because all I heard was that.
Again, he thought he had a stroke. He thought his hearing was going out.
But then upon re-listening, cutting the audio and video, I pieced together what I believe to be the correct answer.
You're like Zach Galifianakis over there with the formulas hovering around your head.
It's so bad.
Josh, that's some of your best work ever. You won, though. Congratulations.
That's over. I feel great. I feel great.
I mean, so smart.
I think we just play that every time he talks about the defense. Year forward. Just one of those drops.
What would talk to text do with that? Probably I'm going to crush Jose.
Have you guys tried Celsius Energy Drink yet? If you haven't, let me tell you all about it. It's the clean energy drink that you need to stay active and energized all day long. I need Celsius on days like today when I got to go straight from here to hair and makeup to the studio to tape a little show on ESPN. And Celsius is what gets me through the college football season as well. You can find Celsius at your local Pick and Save stores or online at Amazon. Stay active and energized all day long with Celsius Essential Energy Drinks.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The other side of the world, and I'll let you know if I want to come back and coach your little game.
He's Jay Peterman.
Ian Rappaport tweeting yesterday, and I thought this was interesting.
Oh,
the Broncos Burma? The
that
last
was gibberish.
Few weeks. You guys done?
I got more.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
A weekly pulse on the Milwaukee Bucks, straight from a fan favorite and Bucks legend. Tune in to Hear District with Marcus Johnson, a Bucks Plus audio production. Marcus and his son Chris, a 1995 UCLA hoops champ himself, talk about everything happening in the Bucks world and are joined by some of the biggest names in basketball. Plus, they'll answer your questions too. Stay on the beat of the Bucks and find Hear District now, bucks.com/plus, Bucks app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Feel like I'm gonna puke, cause my taxes are due. Do my password begin with a one or a two? Been a heck of a ride, but I'm thinking it's time.
Just checking to see if we put anything on the old Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll today, and I don't think that we did. Joshy has been without a voice today. I thought we were gonna get more hotkeys as the show went on. But
yeah,
to be,
he started off hot.
But to be perfectly honest with you, that last segment, the We Can Reach You, made up for it. It's fantastic. Some of Joshy's best work ever on the We Can Reach You. What was that drop again, Joshy?
I don't know which one you're looking for.
I'm going to crush Jose.
I mean, of course, Jose.
I'm sorry. It's never going to be funny.
Well, there's 7 words to say when you think someone's having a stroke. Did you guys know that? So next time that happens.
Wait, what? What are you talking about? 7 words to say. Like,
if you think
call 911, that's 4.
No. I think there is. It's like if you think someone is, you say, repeat this after me. Could have swore.
So if we thought you were having a stroke after saying that.
Yeah.
There's a list of words we ask you to say.
Yeah.
Never heard of it.
No?
Do you want me to Google it?
I think he's trying.
He's on G-O-O. G-L-E.
I'm going to have to take over here at some point.
Okay.
What I see here from penmedicine.org is ask them to smile. Does one side look like it's drooping? Instruct them to raise both arms. Does one arm drift downward? And ask them to say something. So just speaking.
Okay, so it wasn't. It was actions. Well, that's close. I mean, if that was reach you, I'd get credit then, right?
You're a little too far away from this one, I think.
Oh, now we can have the Des Bryant catch or no catch conversation again.
Yeah, but it's true to say.
Did you make a football move? Did the ground cause a fumble?
Still a catch, and I believe if it was Devontae at the time, Gabe would have said, yes, that's an absolute catch, and he would have been livid.
Are we really watching Get Up this morning, and they are asking, is Jordan Love the best quarterback in the NFC? I would love to be hearing what these gentlemen are saying about that. I love his play caller, Matt. Okay, closed caption. Keep it going. Yeah. LaFleur. Terrific offensive line. Youngest set of skill position players in the National Football League, and they're only going to get better. All of these players are going up together. I think he means growing up together in the same.
Do you guys think it'll be a distraction, though? I do.
What? All
Jason kind of poo-pooed it.
Nah.
Well, but you also think that the contract is done.
I do, but if it's not, I think it's a huge distraction.
Send me mixed signals
here. Because then you're going to have players going to bat for him and talking about his contract.
Yeah, and I think that could be a storyline all throughout training camp if they don't have this contract.
Do you think the media is just – if he's not signed in camp, the media will just pounce on everything?
I don't know how often it'll be a question, but it'll be brought up.
Well, let me ask you this, because I did hear you, Gabe, talking about how camp is, it's fine. You can get some things out of camp, but not a lot of things out of camp. That was a conversation you guys had when I was gone earlier this week. If the contract isn't done and Jordan looks like he's out there a little hesitant or not as sharp as we remember him from the final 9 games of the season, Will you start scratching your head a little? Will you start being like, I wonder if the lack of a contract, the negotiations are starting to bother him, if they're starting to affect him, or will you just chalk it up to regular old camp knocking the rust off?
Yeah, regular old camp knocking the rust off.
I don't know.
I mean, I think he seems like somebody who's just going to not put in the full effort.
But he might internalize it. I mean, it's different with Dak because Dak already got a big deal. Jordan hasn't got a big deal yet.
Yeah.
Jordan hasn't gotten life-altering money yet.
Well, is there anything to that, Shu? Because I do hear all the time people say, you're going to get another bite of the apple. You're going to get another crack at this. You know, you don't need to break the bank. I feel like the person who said this might have been over there. But you don't need to break the bank on the first deal. You break the bank on the second deal.
Yes.
So is there any part of you that thinks that the Packers are using that argument when having the conversation with Jordan Love?
I don't think so. I mean, because ultimately you think the agent's driving the bus, but he's not. Jordan's driving the bus. So if it gets to a point, like I said, crazy as it may sound, there's not a big difference between $55 million a year and $53 million a year. So does it get to a point where Jordan, and this happens, gets to a point where just sign the deal. I'll take 53, fine, and then make it up later.
Yeah, but then the Packers, what if they don't want to make it up later?
Because I can tell you this. What if it's a new general manager?
I hate that gamble so much. Yeah. I hate the idea of, oh, you know what? I'm a good employee. I do good work. It might not be the way I want it to shake out now, but next time I'll get rewarded for my commitment, for my loyalty, for my performance.
Who's to say Brian Gutekunst is still going to be there doing the deal the next time the deal comes up?
He could still be there and still say,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it doesn't really behoove us. Doesn't really benefit us.
Yeah.
But I can tell you this. My agent, when I negotiated with Andy Reid,
yeah,
he wasn't very happy with me.
Well, of course not.
Well, not. But that's what I'm saying. The player ultimately drives the bus.
Yeah.
You know? So it could get to a point where just sign the, yeah, let's
aren't
get it done.
Aren't we just days away from him reporting?
Yeah, next
Wednesday, I believe.
Yeah, like
yeah, I think Wednesday he reports.
And then when is the shareholders meeting?
The following Monday, week from Monday.
If that doesn't happen by the shareholders meeting, we got trouble.
They haven't announced it by the shareholders meeting, we have trouble.
May have a little trouble.
You think you worried about him going into the season without one?
Yes. Yeah. It's just a distraction they don't need.
And a lot of times guys will say, I'm going to shelf it. I'm just going to shelf it. I don't want to be dealing with it once the season starts. And so, I'm sorry, the window has closed. Did Devontae do that? Why is Devontae popping in my head as a guy who did that and said,
but we all
internalize, right? I mean, we internalize it and then it gets to a point where something is said and you snap.
Yeah, so what is that? It's your ego, right? It's your ego that wants a certain number or wants to be seen a certain way by the masses, by the other quarterbacks, by the rest of the league. And so if the team isn't willing to match that number, your ego takes a hit, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because you think you deserve it. You think you've done all of the things. And they're saying no.
Well, and again, like he already took the team-friendly deal. He already took the gamble on himself. So if the Packers are the ones dragging their feet going, oh, yeah, we'll take care of you. No, he already did that once for you.
Yeah.
And maybe he digs his feet in. I don't know.
How much is it even ego? It's just the going rate.
Yeah, because you're not going to tell me a guy that's played 9 games very well after his first year of starting deserves to be the highest paid quarterback. Well,
the only reason I say ego, Josh, is because we don't know what the number is.
Yeah.
If we knew what the number is, we'd have a better idea if, you know, ego is driving it and he wants to be the highest paid guy, which is sort of an ego thing, because he could be in that range. He could be in the Trevor Lawrence range. Why is he? I'm forgetting. Jared Goff is the other quarterback,
yeah,
right?
So 53 and 55. But he should get 55 because.
Oh, yeah. The comparable is Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah. There's no need to wait for Tua because I don't think we were talking about it earlier. I don't think Miami's going to pay Tua, and I wouldn't pay him either.
I mean, eventually they might have to, but they're not going to pay him. Yeah, they're not going to do it right now because they don't have to because they still have.
It's like Justin Jefferson. Remember Justin Jefferson in the offseason? You ain't coming back here unless Cousins is here. Oh, here's $33 million a year. Okay, I'll sign. I mean, it all goes away. It can be as contentious as can be. But when you get that check for X amount of dollars, like, oh, I love this place. Goody, he's the best. Love him.
When you get that signing bonus check in one lump sum, right? They just give it to you right away?
Well, how did your direct deposit? It can't go and say, "Can I get these in 9 million 20s?"
You guys had direct deposit back then?
Chewy, would you have requested a big
check? But we had a guy. I know. I know we're up against it. Rich Moran. They used to put our checks in our nameplates way back early in the day.
Yeah.
And some practice squad dude stole Rich Moran's check, which at the time was like $38,000, and he went to the Associated Bank right down the road and cashed it.
Well, that teller's out of work.
To see.
You know what they didn't do anymore?
Write checks.
Put the checks in the nameplates.
You have to hand those to people, right?
This is before direct deposit.
Yeah. Person-to-person transaction as opposed to let the locker do the job. All right, thanks for hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Will D and Tosh is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll be back with you on Monday.